what do architects do? What do they deliver? What do their clients experience? And then using some of those words, concepts, and phrases, because they're already locked in our head under the term architect.
Yeah.
You just are changing that 10%, saying I'm a home studio architect. I know what an architect does. I'm not sure what a home studio. Oh, you help me show up and show off my home studio curb appeal. Something like that. That's what we wrestle with at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And the fun part about that, Junaid, is when you dial it in like that, it's engaging, it's fun, it's memorable, it's different.
It's different, yeah.
And that's what you're really looking for. And that's why the home studio architect landed so well, because you help people create and design. But why? So that you can show up and show off your curb appeal.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. Want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, I get to speak with Michael DeLon. He serves business experts and thought leaders to create a book without writing a word. As a #1 Amazon best-selling author and America's foremost authority on credibility marketing, he teaches how to establish and market your credibility to gain more clients. Business owners seek out Michael to clarify their message, make them a best-selling author, and set up their profitable podcast. They use his credibility marketing strategies to gain clients, get referrals, and grow their revenue. Since 2013, he has worked with business owners across the United States and internationally to establish and market their credibility. Michael is the husband of one and father of four. He's a committed follower of Jesus Christ who is deeply involved in his church. You can normally find Michael investing time with his family, reading a great book, or a facilitating growth in the lives of those around him. Today we get to bring back one of my favorite humans in the world, Michael DeLon. Michael, thanks so much for coming on to the podcast.
Oh, Junaid, man, it is so good to be with you again. I can't wait to have another great conversation.
One of the things that we connected on is your ability to help people write books and with those books establish and market their credibility so that they can gain more clients. That's one of your stories on how you were able to get in front of people. Because when you initially went and said, hey, I'm a marketing person, blah, 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 they're like, no, you're not. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's right. They didn't believe me at all.
And then the story goes, you then wrote a book and you would ship the book to them before they got on the call.
Yep.
And then they had no question. They're like, where do I sign?
Yeah. It shortened the sales cycle because when I showed up, man, in their mind, I was an expert. Because I had a book. Nothing else changed. It's just the fact that when I mailed them a copy of my book and I walked in their office and they'd read my book before our meeting, they'd understood who I was and how I operate and the success that I've gotten for other clients. And they're like, wow, this is different. I like this guy. I think he could help me. So it really, when I got to their office, it wasn't a sales call at all. It was a conversation. And it was amazing. It changed my business, changed my life. And now I have the privilege of helping other people do the exact same thing.
That's amazing. And so people, if you want to listen to how we did and how that story goes, you can go check out episode 458 on Hacks and Hobbies podcast. But in this episode, we're going to take a new route altogether because since 2022, the entire world has changed. That was published in 22. We probably recorded earlier in 22. We're almost 2 years into 22 being over. It's 24 now. Want to see where you're heading to now, Michael?
Yeah. It's interesting because some things change and some things stay the same. And what we have found is that the demand and the need for business owners to communicate their message in a compelling way has not only not changed, but it's actually gotten worse. Meaning there's so much more competition out there. and things pivoted and so many more people are online. That's where most business people do all their stuff. I need Facebook ads. I need LinkedIn ads. I need TikTok ads. I need, but they don't have a message. And they don't have a vehicle like a book to separate them in the mind of their audience, because business owners don't understand marketing happens between the ears of your audience. It's how they think about you. So as far as what we're doing, we are doubling down on what we do best to help our clients. We continue to build marketing systems and strategies that we teach our clients and give to them so that they know how to monetize their expertise. But it's really clarifying their message, creating their best-selling book, and then using our marketing systems to convert prospects into clients.
Man, I love that. When you said the marketing happens between the ears, it's almost like the book becomes the inception. I've seen the movie Inception.
A long time ago. Matthew McConaughey? Yeah.
Gordon Levitt's.
Okay.
And what's his name?
Inception.
The guy from Titanic. Can't remember his name right now. He's going to be kicking my ass because what are you talking about? I'm famous.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio. That's right. There you go. They go and they conceptualize so that in the idea is their own.
Yeah.
And that's what a book is doing. It's becoming, it's almost, I'm going to throw in another token or another example. It's almost like the horse with the people.
Oh, the Trojan horse. The Trojan horse. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what a book is. It's going inside and it's turning from the inside out. I'm like, hey, this is the guy that you want to hire to build your credibility.
Yeah, it really is. In our culture, Junaid, experts have books, period.
Amen.
You look at Seth Godin or Tony Robbins or Dave Ramsey, it doesn't matter. In their category, leaders have books. And if you want to be a category leader to your audience, whether you're just in podunk nowhere, Iowa, or whether you're a national speaker or trainer, you better have a book. That, at the end of the day, that's how people are judging you and your credibility. You need other things as well. It's not the purple pill of the matrix.
Right.
But it really is it's that level of credibility that is more challenging to get than about anything else.
Amen.
And I think that's why it speaks so profoundly to our audience.
It does. And here's the fun fact, right? And this is something that you probably resonate with, listeners would resonate with as well. I have the privilege of raising a child who's now 1 year old. Right? As soon as it's bedtime, I was like, hey, we're going to read Goodnight Moon. You probably heard of that book, right? It's a tiny book. And he sits in the bed. He's about 16 months old. He sits in the bed. He pulls up the covers to his knees. And he's like, all right, where's my book? Yeah. I'm going to read the book. So at a very young age, we are trained to read books and learn from them.
Yeah.
I think there was a story where somebody came up to Bill Gates and congratulated him when he published his book. Nobody came up to him and congratulated him for being the richest man in the world, the most successful company in the world. Nope. As soon as he published the book, wow, congratulations, you wrote a book.
Yeah. It's a major milestone. And with your son, you're making memories. It's a resource because that lives on the bookshelf. And that's the other thing from a marketing perspective. Podcasts are great. They hang around. You've got 480 some odd. Videos are great. All that stuff is good. But a book lives on my bookshelf. It beckons to me as I glance over and I see books on my bookshelf going, yeah. I want to be top of mind in my audience's life. And a book's just a great way. Plus, it gives me all kinds of content to do podcasts or LinkedIn lives or you name it, emails. I use the content in my book because that's what I'm known for. And my question to business owners is, what are you known for? And most of them are not known for anything. And therein lies the issue.
Yeah. They don't have a differentiator, right? Len the plumber, right?
And the differentiator many times, Junaid, comes from within that client. It's a story of who they are, how they started, what did they do. And we discover that and we bring it forth and help that to become the theme and the title of the book and things because it resonates with them and their audience. And a lot of times we'll have clients that will discover that message, that brand. And I'll say, have you ever shared this with anybody? And they're like, No, I haven't. Oh, it's going to be great because people are going to resonate with it.
Yeah.
So we all have stories that we're not telling. I just think we need to tell it through the pages of your book.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. So it's funny that we're talking about the book writing. My friend Ed Squire, he's in Colorado, and he's, Junaid, I'm working on this book. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. It's 400 pages. It's going to have 14 chapters. It's going to be amazing. So I was like, dude, if you really want to get this book out, I know the perfect guy. He can get the book out there for it within 2 weeks or a month, within that shorter time. This is, so I'm talking about my experience with my friend who helped me do this for my little tiny book on mastering iPhone video production. And I was like, you just need to get the content. And I was like, so he's now telling me, like, I'm moving, I'm traveling for holidays. I want to have the first draft, and it's all my journals of, I don't think anybody else can do it because it's my story. So my memoir, and I won't have the draft till the end of March, and we're in December right now.
So 3 months.
Wow, that's a lot of writing. That's a lot of stuff that's going in it. Now the question is for, and that's why I'm asking, bringing it up to you. Question is that something that's going to help him stand, like, you don't even know what the book is
It
about.
really comes down to his message, because
Right.
if he's looking to put it on Amazon and sell it on Amazon, he's barking up a wrong tree, right? It's not going to work. If he knows how to market the book once it's published outside of Amazon, it needs to be on Amazon, but there are ways to market your book. If it coincides with his audience, then perhaps, I think 400 pages is way too big for a business book, personally, because most people will get that and go, oh, I'll pass. Not everybody. Some people will dive into it if they're really, really interested. But it's the timing. Think about all the money he's missing by not working with clients, because he's having to do it himself because that's his choice, and that's totally okay. I know a lot of people do their own books. I just
Yeah.
think I look at business and say, what's the highest and best use of my time? And then I hire people to do the other things because
Yeah.
I know where the return on investment is, and it's not in writing a book. But it's everybody has their own thing, and that's okay.
You're absolutely right. It's not in doing the thing. It's such well said, because I was recently watching Myron Golden. You probably heard of him. Amazing motivational speaker, right? And he's talking about how it's easier to make $1 million in 1 month than it is to make $1 million in 1 year. I was like, wait, how? And it's easier to make $1 million in 1 week than it is in 1 month. I'm like, wait, you just shortened the time even more. And he's like dropping these bombs. It's easier to make $1 million in 1 hour than in 1 week or 1 day. And he said, think about it, right? If you were to go from the end of the street to the other end, it'll take you longer time if you walked versus if you drove versus if you biked versus if you took a rocket ship.
That's right.
I'm like, just totally changes my mindset.
And that's it. It's a mindset, because one of my phrases is everybody wants to be an author, but nobody wants to write a book. It's a struggle, and there's self-editing, and there's all kinds of things. And so that's why we created our speak to write process, to get your content out of your head into print. We have writers who do the writing. It's in your voice, it's in your tone, it's your message, but it allows us to get your book done in under 24 hours of your time. So we leverage your time so you can spend time with your clients, your prospects, your team, building
Right.
your business while we're creating the book. And then we bring the marketing together at the end of the program, after we make you a best-selling author. And it launches you into a different stratosphere,
Yeah.
and it sustains you in that orbit, per se, if we're talking space, because of the marketing systems and strategies give you to go, now that you're an author, how are you going to engage people? Because it's not
Yeah.
about selling your book. It's about putting it in the hands of people, letting them get to know you, building trust, and becoming a household name to your audience, and then letting them refer you to their friends and neighbors and relatives and business owners, church members, on and on, to build your business over time. It's just a different philosophy. So that philosophy, it's a
Yeah.
mindset
It's a
shift
mindset shift, yeah.
that we bring to the table around your specific message. Very fun. Love it.
Michael, when we first met, I think I had a call with you about figuring out what I was about. And I think you gave me the title of home studio architect. And I've stuck with it. I'm like, hey, I'm going to take that little piece that you gave me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
But I still have yet to write a book on that topic. Now, I've written a book. It's iPhone video production, using mastering iPhone video production. It's a nice little book. So the question is, I have 40 of these copies of these books. It talks about what my background is and how people can use your smartphones. Can I use that book for my marketing, for as a calling card? Can I like send it as a gift to people to start 100%. Making it at home? Like, what are your thoughts?
Home, yeah, 100%. Because what you're talking about is how to use your iPhone with video, right? Which is a subset of being a home studio architect, because you help people design studios in their home. Mm-hmm. I carry this everywhere I go.
Yeah.
Sometimes I use it in my home studio. Sometimes I'm out and about, but it's all, how am I showing up on video? And absolutely, yeah, you're the home studio architect. And hey, if you happen to have one of these iPhones, download a free copy of my book, or let me give you a free copy of my book. It's going to tell you exactly what you need to be doing to show up properly and connect with your audience. It's absolutely, it's just a subset of what you do.
It's a subset of what I do.
Totally. Yeah, it's just one piece of that pecan pie, right? We're Christmas pecan pies on my
own. I love it.
But it's just one slice of that pie. A home studio is another slice. Doing videos in your marketing could be another slice, right? There are just all kinds of ways of lighting and all of that. Because you're an architect. You think about an architect, dude, and they've got what? They've got rulers and they've got pens and pencils and drawing boards and all. They've got all kinds of ways to look at buildings and elevations and things. You have to attack it from all those angles. And that's just one way. Absolutely. But this
and
is
I was looking at it from a totally different perspective, but you just opened my mind.
And that's good. And that's what we bring to the table. See, we're marketers.
Yeah.
We're a book publishing company. Yes. But we are marketers. We understand how to take that book and teach you how to use it in a dozen different ways. And then we give you systems that work over and over. It's just, you set it up one time and it just works over and over and over. That's how you build your business. You don't have to chase TikTok and LinkedIn and all this other stuff. Now you've got a message, home studio architect. And then under that, say, here's one of my drawings. Here's one of my sketches. It's about an iPhone. It's how you show up on an iPhone, whatever. That's what we love to do, Jenny.
Yeah. Man, I love that. That's mind-blowing.
But
so go for it.
I was going to say, the reason you say it's mind-blowing is because you're an expert, Junaid, at what you do. Okay? My mind is blown when I look at your studio and your sound and all. I'm like, how do you even think about all that? Sure. But you do that like a fish in water, right? Mm-hmm. My clients and most business owners are experts at what they do. They struggle at marketing. I do marketing in my sleep. So that's why we work so well together, is I'm here to help and to serve and to just give you that mind-opening revelation. Now you can run with it because you're smart. You can go, now I know what to do. Great. Happy to help. That's what we love to do with our clients, because you're just one degree away from a breakthrough, and maybe we just got it for you. That'd be great.
Man, that's amazing. So as you work with your clients, you said the clients are not spending more than 24 hours with you.
Of their time, right. And so it takes us between 4 and 9 months to get the book done, but it's 24 clock hours of their time. That's all they have invested in it, because we've built a system where it speaks right. We've got writers who interview you. You can, it's a wonderful system. It's dialed in, man.
And the output that people get are books that are how many pages?
Up to 150 pages. So it's a real book, has some thump factor to it. It's big enough not to be a brochure, but it's not War and Peace. It's not 400 pages.
Sure.
It's a book that when you put it in somebody's hands, they're going to go, I can read that in a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
it builds that authority.
And 100%.
It's really funny. Like I have no idea about writing books. Okay. But about 6 years ago, my friend shared with me this book called Authority.
Uh-huh.
By Nathan Barry.
Okay.
And the book says, the big book's called Authority. He's a software developer himself, and people would ask him to do something, and he's like, wait, I have a better article. I've written a better article. But then they would always go to something else. And then he's like, wait, what am I doing all the time? I'm looking at books by O'Reilly, books by blah, blah, blah on technology. What if I wrote a book?
Yeah.
So as soon as he wrote a book, now he's an authority figure because he is an author. Literally.
That's all. I mean, honestly, because it's in the mind, right? Yeah. We want to be a resource to people. And in your book, you can point to other people because that continues to build your authority. But good golly, it's not hard. It's not rocket science. The problem is writing a book, physically writing a book is challenging. Okay. Because of a lot of factors of self-editing and wording and correcting yourself through the process. Never write a book.
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at HumbleZone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com and how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities.
Always speak to write a book. Whether you use us, or whether you use Google or Microsoft Word, use the dictate function and speak into the computer and let it take your words down. It's so much faster, so much better. Then go back and edit it or hire an editor, somebody who's really good at language.
Now, Michael, when we first spoke back in probably August when we recorded the episode, we didn't have a clue about OpenAI, ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a year now.
Yeah.
This thing has come a long way. I was just talking to a gentleman. He's 95% of my book is ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody else mentioned, oh, I took all of our processes and I put it in ChatGPT and said, hey, make a workbook out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, it's a workbook. So what? You have mentioned this before, that you're more of a marketer than a book publisher. What are your thoughts on how this technology is changing the space of authoring books?
Yeah, so we do both really well, by the way, publishing and marketing. Yeah, ChatGPT can be used for lots of things. We don't think it's great for doing books. For the books that we want, for your voice to be in a book, we have found and we've tested it, ChatGPT flattens your voice, okay? And you don't come through the book. Now, if you're writing a workbook or something, sure, absolutely, because you don't need to be in the book, right? It's just stuff. Right. But if you're trying to connect with people, we've tested it, and it flattens because of the way its algorithm works and the way it's pulling from all kinds of stuff. It doesn't come through like we want it to come through, because we want the book to be about you, and I want your readers to connect with you. So we are 100% human powered. And we're going to stay that way for a long time. Now, we use ChatGPT in other areas, doing other things. It's an amazing technology. We just don't think it's where it needs to be yet for creating a compelling book that positions you as the thought leader. That's the issue. And you can check out books all day long using stuff like that. But so can your competitor. And what's going to be the difference is going to be you, your story.
The resonant, yeah.
It really does. So for creating the types of books that we create, we have tested it and we have found that it is not up to par compared to a human expert writer.
Hearing that puts me at ease, because, again, we have the creative control over everything that we create. And it's the AI is literally copying what it sees. And if it copies enough people, guess what happens? And that's what you're saying. It flattens all of that. Okay, goes to the basic denominator. Okay, gotta go. This is the limit.
I've got some clients that are from the South, and they speak with an accent. And sometimes they'll say something that just ain't English. But brother, that's how they talk. And that's how their audience resonates. And I bet you ChatGPT wouldn't do that, right?
No.
But that's what needs to be in the book, because that's who they are. And whether you're there or whether you're up in the East, or we all have our ways of speaking. And that's why we use a speak to write process, so that when you read my book, you hear my podcast, you see me on video, there is a consistency there which builds credibility. Oh. It's like the current of the ocean. It's strong and it will pull you in a direction. And that's what you want your marketing to do. And I think you are the best person to show up, whether it's on video, podcast, audio, book. You need to be there.
Yeah.
And that's what moves the needle.
Man, I love that so much, because I think when you have that level of you inside of it, I think you feel that, yeah, hey, this book is me. And then you have that connectivity, yeah, as opposed to if you wrote something with AI, it's AI.
It's and AI. And you're going to have to, you can write it with AI. You're still going to have to read that thing.
Yes, you still, right, have to read
and
it.
And you're going to have to invest the time, and you're going to have to make it, make the changes. Why do that? Why not work with a company that will allow you to do that with a professional writer who's going to capture your voice and put it all in there for you?
Exactly.
It's a decision every business owner needs to make for themselves.
Yeah.
We just err on the side of humans better, faster.
Humans, of course, better. Everything's copied off of humans, right?
It is. It is. And at the end of the day, you've got to look at your book. Speed is one thing. Quality is another.
Yeah.
And return on investment's another. And that's why we back our book programs up with a 2-year double your money back guarantee, because I know that the book's going to be done phenomenally well. You'll be an Amazon best-selling author, and you'll have the marketing systems to generate revenue. And because honestly, put out all the books you want. If you don't have the marketing behind it,
doesn't matter.
It's just a book. It really does.
And that's why you wrote the book on marketing, because it's all about marketing.
It is.
People are not going to know about anything unless it's the seed somewhere. They see
that's
it,
right,
in your circles. Now, it worked. Not marketing worked for the Grateful Dead because they have a strong calling, right? Yeah. There's a lot of bands that did really well.
Yeah.
That didn't have to do marketing because they had the word of mouth.
That's right.
But you're doing that with, I think you're taking it to 3 different levels with a book, because it is word of mouth with the book, but then you're adding the marketing element in front of it because it's just going to get in front of the right people at the right time.
But think about the Grateful Dead, all right? Love them. They had a very compelling message. Mm. Okay, so if I say Grateful Dead,
boom,
REO Speedwagon, Crosby, Stills, and Nash & Young. 3 different, they all have their distinct brands. Mm-hmm. They have their distinct audiences.
Yeah.
How are you doing that in your business? When somebody says Junaid, when somebody says Michael DeLon, when somebody says your name or your business, do they instantly know who you are and what you stand for? Because when you do that, you don't have to do a bunch of marketing, right? If I say Tony Robbins.
Boom, you know who it is.
Dude, if I just said Tony Robbins put out a brand new book on computer technology, everybody's going to go buy it because it's Tony Robbins and he's brilliant, right? That's what we think in our minds. Mm-hmm. Same thing. So what brand do you have that allows you, you still have to market. Tony still markets every single day.
Oh, yeah.
And the Grateful Dead marketed. They had t-shirts they sold at their concerts.
That's right.
So they marketed. We just think about it differently, but it's the fact that they had a distinct brand that they stood for. What do you stand for in your marketing, in your business? What are you known for? And most of the time, it's nothing. And therein lies the issue with marketing. Mm-hmm. Everything else is a channel or a venue, right? LinkedIn, TikTok, books, podcast, doesn't matter. They're all channels. If you don't have channels, a message, that start there. Start with your message. That's why we always start with the message. Then we create the book. Then we do the marketing.
Michael, I love all of this. Do you want to do an experiment with Junaid Ahmed's marketing?
Sure.
And the messaging?
Right? Absolutely. Love it.
I know what my marketing and what my message is. I want to make sure that every entrepreneur looks good and sounds good on camera and has confidence. But is that enough?
What's the end result? Why do I want to look good and sound good on camera?
Because it gives you authority and confidence to create more content.
And why do I want that?
So that you're in front of more audiences, you you bring in more money to your company. Do you bring in more
revenue? More clients. Yeah.
More clients, exactly. Revenue and clients, and people see you in authority. Like when they see you in a high quality video, they're like, okay, this guy clearly cares about how he shows up on camera.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly cares about that so much that if I work with them, he's going to care about me too.
Yeah. And you're all about the studio, the how they show up, whether they're in their studio or on their iPhone.
Correct.
It's how they show up. All right. And this is just off the top of my head, dude.
Of course.
Right? Usually it takes me a few weeks. Here's how I think. You are the home studio architect. So I start thinking architects. When architects create something and they create a brand new building, it has curb appeal. You drive up to this building, you go, wow. You walk through the doors, you're just wowing, right? That's the experience your clients want, is when people see them, they go, wow, that was amazing. Look at the lighting back there. And I want to come back and see another video. I want to learn from this person. So you could call it personal, helping you design your personal curb appeal would be one thought. Right. And this is the process that we go through.
Right.
You go it usually takes me 2 or 3 weeks to iterate this and brainstorm and go back and forth. But take the idea, the concept of home studio architect, and think about what do architects do? They design.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They draw. And then when they have a product that's done, what's the experience of those who see it, who experience it? And use those words and make them fit what you do.
Mm.
Okay. So you could say building something, crafting, designing. I think architects design.
It's more design, yeah.
It's more design. But why? Why are they designing? They're always designing a masterpiece or something. Mm. And before they design a building, they look at they do a survey of the surrounding neighborhoods. So that would be your competition, maybe your client's competition. And they say, okay, we're going to use this structure. Our church is building a building. And the architects haven't even broken ground yet because they're doing sketches and they're up on top of this little mountain where they're looking and they're saying, how do we preserve this? How do we give you the right view? How do we do what's going on? They're looking at all this. That's how you need to be showing up with your clients to go, here's what your competitors are doing. We're going to help you create your personal curb appeal. It's going to connect with your brand and it's going to give your audience a wow experience or something. So you just have to
put it all together. Yeah.
Work on all of that. But you've got lighting, you've got sound. So think about a new building. It's got lighting on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in and there's going to be some sound playing, maybe whatever it is.
Yeah.
All of that's the experience. The
experience.
And that's what you bring to the table is helping your clients deliver an experience. A personal brand experience, a personal curb appeal.
Yeah.
Creating, designing your curb appeal when people pull into your Zoom meeting room.
Yeah.
It's
that first impression. What's that first impression like?
Yeah. Yeah. Because many times that is the first or second impression that somebody have if they book a meeting with you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's have a Zoom call. Okay. How are you showing up?
Yeah.
Showing, helping you show up and show off your curb appeal.
Show up and show off your curb appeal.
Yeah. Cause I want you to show up. You showed up today and in the background, you're showing off what you do. Say, oh, look at those lights. And I know you can say, hey, Google, change this. And it changes. And I'm like, well, that is really cool. I can't do that. I can go flip a switch. And you're showing up and you're showing off your curb appeal. That looks really cool compared to lots of studios I saw today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's thinking, it's just looking at that word architect. What do they do? What are their tools? What are they designing? How do they go about it?
Yeah.
What are some words? Going to a thesaurus or something like that and just thinking about what do architects do? What do they deliver? What do their clients experience? And then using some of those words, concepts, and phrases because they're already locked in our head under the term architect.
Yeah.
You just are changing that 10% saying I'm a home studio architect. I know what an architect does. I'm not sure what a home studio. Oh, you help me show up and show off my home studio curb appeal. something like that. That's what we wrestle with at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And the fun part about that, Junaid, is when you dial it in like that, it's engaging, it's fun, it's memorable, mm-hmm. it's different.
It's different, yeah.
And that's what you're really looking for. And that's why the Home Studio Architect landed so well, because you help people create and design. But why? So that you can show up and show off your curb appeal.
Mm, I like it, man. I like it. Dude, this has been so much fun.
I love it.
And
you.
I know we asked, so in the first episode, we did the origin story. We delved that deep. We did the deep dive into how you work with people. And then we had the 6 questions, or you also had the 3 hacks. So the question is, do you want to do the 3 hacks this time around, or do you have some other exercise for our audience to do so that they have more of the thoughts of thinking about, hey, I need to talk to Michael to get better at my book?
Yeah, at the end of the day, the first thing I always tell people, and I'm not sure if this is a hack or not, but the first thing you've got to do is get your message. What's unique about you? And I'd say the easiest way to do that is take a friend to coffee.
Mm.
Have your phone ready. Turn on a recording thing and have them ask you questions. List out questions about, why do you live where you live? What are your hobbies? What was your family like growing up? What'd you do as a kid? Did you play sports? Mm. Where'd you go to college? Why'd you major what you do? Why are you doing what you're doing today? What drives you? Tell me about your family. Mm. And what you'll find as you get all these answers and you listen to the answers and you read them is there are themes that start showing up.
Yeah.
And you realize that theme shows up over and over and over in my life. Start thinking about that theme and connecting that to your message or business, and it starts separating you. And it doesn't have to be rocket science, man. I know one realtor out in Wyoming, and he loves fly fishing out in Wyoming, right? And so he was Jackson Hole's fly fishing realtor or something like that. But that's what he does.
That's what he does.
If he's not selling houses, he's fly fishing. So all of his brochures, his websites, it's him out in the middle of a river fly fishing. And it connects, it bonds with people saying, I like this guy. I want to go fly fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the realtor who's dressed in a suit and everything, right? It's just who he is. So figure out who you are and be you.
Yeah.
And just use that in your marketing. That will separate you from everybody else. That's the easiest and best place to start for everybody, because you've got a story to tell that people will relate to. You're just not telling it. Take your friend to coffee. Let them ask you a bunch of questions. Record it all. Get the transcript and see what themes start popping out. And from there, you can go any direction you want, whether you create a book with us or whether you do a video or create your home studio with the Home Studio Architect, because you need one of those. So make sure when you have those Zoom calls, you want to make sure that you're showing up and showing off your curb appeal. So make sure you work with Junaid. Anyway, that's really the first steps, is your message is the most important thing you have. And if you don't have a message, you're going to be spending a lot of time, effort, and energy and money on marketing. It's just not going to work well as it can.
Amen. Michael, thank you so much for your wisdom, your sharing, and stories, and all of the good stuff you shared. I enjoy every time we have a conversation. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, brother. Always good to be with you.
Awesome. We'll catch you in the next episode. Till then, have a great one.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode on Hacks and Hobbies. We absolutely appreciate your contribution. You can find additional notes on hacksandhobbies.com. Please share the podcast with your friends and tell them what you learned about our guest today.